And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Live Well, show number 4 from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place, Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmon, and Tracy here loves it when I talk like this. You love it, don't you?
At certain times.
Yes. And we are here with the usual suspects. Stephanie Wolf is the Whole Food Health Coach, although today it is Halloween as we tape the show, and you are dressed as?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And you went
strong
all out.
Strong and wonderful.
I mean, you sold out. You went all out. You, from head to toe, you are Wonder Woman today.
I'm feeling it.
It was part of your Toastmasters event today, right?
Yes, I'm the president of Toastmasters in Sugar Hill, so I had to come dress the part. We had Toast Monsters today.
Great. And that's very good. DeWitt Thompson, he is with Healthy Life and Fitness Consultants, and he is dressed as a personal trainer today.
That I am. I really got showed up this week. I should have stepped up my game a little bit.
You had to go through the wardrobe and go, what can I select? And
it was tough. I couldn't decide.
Should I go with the black Russell t-shirt or the red Russell t-shirt or the...
Exactly. It was either, you know, the black Russell or the black Under Armour, and that was pretty much my only option. So.
And Tracy, you've got the little cat ears on today.
I do.
So you're a kitty cat.
In a way.
Okay.
In a way.
We are here, and this is our fourth edition of Live Well, as you follow the journey of myself and Tracy. Stephanie and DeWitt are trying their darndest to get us in shape and looking good and feeling good, and it's working. We are feeling great, and we're feeling even better because, Stephanie, you brought some treats today. What did you bring for everybody?
I did. I brought my Coach cookies. Every time I go to a potluck or somewhere where I have to bring a dish, I always bring some things that I can eat or things that I will enjoy. So these are my Coach cookies. Usually my clients get them on week 7 after they've gone through clean eating. Then I present some of the things that they can make at home. It's always healthier at home.
So what is in Coach cookies?
Well, it's sweetened with a little bit of brown sugar, but it's got pecans and cranberries and cereal. I use a blend of a cereal in it, one of the only cereals that is in my program. And it does have a little bit of butter. So again, healthy as you can make it from home. So it doesn't have anything artificial.
Great. Well, as we go on this journey, we've been meeting with you and DeWitt, and our most recent meeting with you, Stephanie, we really were concentrating on proteins and talking about protein. So why don't you maybe recap some of the high points of that conversation?
All right. Well, we've been talking about several things since the beginning. We did a traffic light eating where we started learning about the red light foods. We know about red light foods and how to stay away from the things that are bad for us most of the time. But we don't eat enough of the green light foods, which are your go foods. Those are the most important ones. But where people get in trouble is in the yellow light category. It's just like when you're driving your car and the light turns yellow, what do you do? There's a lot of things to consider within that. And that's where the fats are, carbohydrates that are of the simple carb side of things that are less healthy for us, as well as proteins. So that's why I spend 1 week on each of those to make sure my clients really understand what kind of proteins they need. Typically with a client, I'm going to know their age, where they've been, their activity level, a lot of medications they've been taking, and all the things that go into putting things together individually for a client. But with most of the people that are on our call today or are listening to us today, this is going to apply just to the masses. And one of the things that people don't realize is protein steadies blood sugar. So when you have the right kind of protein, the right amount throughout your day, you stabilize your blood sugar better. Protein stays with you longer. So when you eat proteins, it does make you satisfied for longer periods of time than as do its carbohydrate counterparts. Even carbs that are good for you, carbs like the fruits or the vegetables, they are energy. But protein also supplies energy, and it fuels the muscles. So I know that DeWitt and I are on the same page as far as muscle strengthening. I always say carb before a workout, protein after. Always protein after. Good protein drink, good protein bar, or just a nice piece of chicken or something that really enhances your muscles and gives them what they're looking for.
Well, let me interject real quick. Why are proteins in the yellow as opposed to being in the green?
Okay, so green is things that are grown, not manufactured, things that can be eaten raw, and things that are the colors of the rainbow. So Green Light Food is all the kinds of things that you can eat 24/7, as much as you want, as often as you want. Like one whole cup of broccoli is 25 calories, and it goes immediately through your system. It cleanses your bloodstream. It does amazing things for fighting cancer, all those kinds of things, and at a very nutrient dense, but also very low calorie, low glycemic index. So it doesn't raise your insulin or your sugar like other foods do. Proteins are in the yellow light category because you can get an overabundance of them. So you want to make sure that you're portioning them out. Your body can only process a certain amount of protein per meal. So you want to just kind of monitor that and spread out your protein through the day. But you also want to have about half your body weight in grams. So I weigh 135 and I try to stay around the 60 to 70 grams of protein a day. And that's my mini meal consumption throughout the day. So a small meal at breakfast, a couple eggs, at my middle of the day snack type meal, and then my lunch meal, my midday shake usually, and then my dinner.
I think that's a little bit of an eye-opener to some of our listeners, because they're thinking, wait a minute, I can actually have too many proteins, too much protein in my diet.
Too much protein or too much fat all at one time. So it's fine to spread it out. That's what you want to do. Instead of what we call gorging, where you go for long periods of time without eating, that's how you really mess up your insulin, and that's how your body's systems then start misfunctioning or not functioning at all, dysfunction or not functioning. So that's where correction, when we're trying to correct anything, usually in my phase one, it's more of a clean approach, like getting rid of a lot of the things that we were used to in the past and replacing them with some healthier options, and also in moderation, portion control. And in phase two, we deal a lot more with the body system that we're trying to correct. So if someone has diabetes or pre-diabetic, or they have cholesterol issues or other kinds of things that they want to address, then I deal with the body system that's broken and try to replace or repair it with the foods that it needs. So it's a good question.
Tracy, was there anything that stuck out that you remember from our conversation with Stephanie about proteins that surprised you or kind of caught you off guard? I mean, I was a little caught off guard. I guess, was it pork that we talked about?
Right.
I thought pork, you know, you can't go wrong with pork, but you got to be careful with pork as well. And you mentioned that when we had our conversation.
Definitely high in nitrates and nitrites. So you want to limit that. Most of the meats that I recommend are going to be more wild caught, like wild caught fish, obviously, is one of the best ways to get your protein and your fat all in one meal. It's a perfect meal. So doing that is really key. You can fill in with other kinds of meats, chicken or turkey, ground turkey, or, you know, having some more wild animal type meats, not the exotic animal type, but where bison comes in, because they still graze on farms and fields and, you know, big open areas. So they're still healthier because they get exercise. So the healthier the food, obviously the healthier your body. So you are what you eat, but you are what you eat eats.
Great. Again, we're talking with Stephanie Wolf, the whole food health coach here on Live Well. I want to bring DeWitt into the conversation. Before we talk about your plan with Tracy and myself, I want to ask you a question that I've gotten before and that sometimes I wonder about, and that is eating before or after workouts. You always heard growing up, you know, don't eat, you know, if you eat a big meal, you got to wait 30 minutes before you jump in the pool and do any kind of anything athletic. What are the rules when it comes to eating and how much you can eat and how much before you work out? When do you eat after a workout? All those kinds of rules. I know it's a very open question, but I think a lot of people are really not sure. Should you be working out just before you eat or after you eat? How does it all work out?
So it is an open question, and it varies a little bit from person to person. But what I usually recommend is that people eat between an hour and 2 hours before their workout, so they have enough energy, sustained energy, to get through that workout. And then you eat within an hour after the workout. Like Stephanie said, protein heavy, making sure that you're getting that protein to replenish the muscles. Having said that, it varies a little bit from person to person. I've had people that can eat 30 or 45 minutes before their workout and they feel completely fine. I've had people that eat an hour and a half before and they just feel heavy and feel like it's just kind of sitting in their stomach. while we're working out. So for them, it's going to be a little bit longer. But everybody digests a little bit differently. Everybody's metabolism is a little bit different. So there's a window there that you can work with. But I rule of thumb is generally an hour to 2 hours before and within an hour afterwards, what I usually tell people.
I see some folks in the gym with their protein shakes, or their protein bars. What, any suggestions about drinking or eating that while you're working out? Or so, just stay with water?
There are pros and cons to both. Okay. I think for the majority of people, just having that water and replenishing water is going to be beneficial and plenty sufficient to maintaining your energy level and maintaining that muscle mass that you're looking to maintain or to even increase. With very high-end athletes, with bodybuilders, folks that are really focused on a large amount of energy, a large amount of muscle mass, you might want to supplement with a protein shake during, or BCAAs, branched chain amino acids during, just to have a little bit of extra energy to make sure you're constantly having that protein going to the muscles. But for the vast majority of people, you're going to be okay with water during, unless you might have low blood sugar and you might want a little bit of something in there to keep your energy up.
All right. Now let's get back to the plan that you have for Tracy and myself. You've talked about our baseline workout and maybe making some adjustments. Here we are 3 months in, 2 months in, something like that.
Yeah, 2 months. About 2 months in. Yeah, so I'm actually really excited about this, the next part, because we've built our foundation, and now we can really start to increase the volume, not drastically, but at a steady pace. We'll increase the volume, and we'll increase the variety as well. So it wouldn't serve any positive purpose for me to throw a six-day-a-week, hour to an hour-and-a-half-a-day program at you guys the very first week we met, like we talked about. That would just end up beating you up both mentally and physically. So we didn't want to do that. We wanted to build that base a few times a week, basically just get you moving, get you used to some of the movements, get some of those muscles that may not have been used in a while, get them utilized and build a foundation. Now that we've done that, we can really start to add variety. We can add a little bit more intensity, a little bit more volume. And I think this is where people tend to start to see more results as well.
And I think when you're 2 months in at this point, should people still be feeling any soreness at all, or should that pretty much be gone by now?
That's something else that depends on the person. During the foundational phase, ideally you want to, a lot of that soreness is going to be gone by this point, but now that we're changing into different types of workouts and a different variety, you're probably going to feel some of that soreness come back. It's not going to be that soreness that, Tracy, you had for 3 or 4 days, like after our first couple of workouts, but it will be a little bit of that soreness that will come back. And sometimes you may not have soreness, sometimes you may, but what I always tell clients too is being sore or not being sore is not an indicator of a good workout necessarily. You can have a great workout and not be sore at all. You might not have had a very good workout, but you just hit the right muscle at the right time and you are sore. So don't use that soreness as a good indicator of a good or bad workout.
What are your thoughts about Aleve, pain relievers, things like that before or after a workout? Good to take them, maybe avoid them?
I try to avoid them. The body is really efficient at fixing itself and at replenishing the muscles, your energy levels, joints, ligaments, tendons, everything. The body's amazing at doing that. So I try to stay away from those unless you get to the point where, you know, it's 3 or 4 days and you're really having trouble and maybe you really tweaked something or strained something. Then you can possibly look into something like that, you know, some type of anti-inflammatory or just icing, trying to bring down the inflammation a little bit. But I try to stay away from them as a general rule.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. High fives, high tens, yay. So there's also in foods are anti-inflammatory or inflammatory. So there's a lot of inflammation that comes, sadly, from eating too much processed foods. And then when you work out more, it creates more inflammation then most people don't realize how important nutrition actually is to reducing inflammation in your body. And when you're working out, you need more lean proteins, and you definitely need more of the vegetables into your diet so that you have the anti-inflammatories, because all of the green leafy foods also have a high amount of protein. In fact, they have more protein per calorie than as do its meat counterparts. So eating more vegetables really reduces the inflammation in your body everywhere, but also in joints and ligaments, and it does all kinds of other wonderful things for your body as well.
And having, like Stephanie said, having fish especially, having those good fats and that protein, they also have omega-3s, which are very anti-inflammatory. They have anti-inflammatory properties as well. So that's going to be something that's doubly beneficial post-workout to help you really recover.
It's good because your heart is also a muscle. So when you are eating well, good healthy fish, wild caught is best, and then supplementing with the vegetables and making sure that you're getting the right kind of nutrients and staying away from boxes and bags and jars and cans, then your body is really fueling itself well. So it's going to fuel every system, including your endocrine system, which is one of my favorites to talk about, because that's where your metabolism is and that's where your healing properties are. Your body actually makes its own medicine. So if you take good care of it and fuel those systems, then your body will also take care of you. Reducing inflammation is one of those things, but heart health, since it is a muscle, it's real important to have the right kind of fats. Your brain and your heart depend on them, but really all of your bloodstream is depending on nice, slippery fats to keep the blood flowing.
You mentioned fish, by the way. I hope this doesn't come across as a dumb question. Are there types of fish to avoid? Or is it all fish is good?
Well, most fish are good. And I'm a firm believer in avoiding shellfish. So shellfish, in my opinion, are ocean bottom feeders. They actually clean up the ocean, so I believe they're more important to the environment, really, than to our buffet tables or our dinner table. So I like to leave them alone. Crab are one of the most efficient at cleaning up the ocean, which is why sometimes when there's an oil spill, they actually increase the amount of crab in that area because they clean up the oil. And then there's no crabbing being done at that time in that area for a certain length of time until they feel, that it's clean. So I try to avoid those that are bottom feeders for that reason, just because you are what you eat, but you are what you eats. And I also, that's where pork comes in as well, because I do believe that pork are carnivores, so they eat other flesh, and I try to avoid those because that's a less clean source of protein for me.
As far as working out, water before, during, and after, correct?
Absolutely.
Once you start feeling thirsty, you're already dehydrated, is what I've heard before.
Right, exactly. It's very difficult to drink too much water. So if you are thirsty, like you said, you're already borderline dehydrated. You're already getting to that point. So try to drink water consistently throughout the workout. That is something that you want to constantly consume. Make sure you're taking a break, grabbing a little bit of water at least every 15, 20 minutes if you're in 45-minute, hour-long workout.
And Stephanie, remind us again the amount of water that people should be drinking every day.
Again, half your body weight. It should be right around 70 to 100 usually for most people.
Ounces. Not pounds of
ounces,
water. Yeah.
Yes.
If you're 200 pounds, don't drink 100 pounds of water.
Yeah. Definitely. And like I've got clients that are upwards of 300 pounds. So obviously I don't want them drinking half their body weight. But I encourage people to at least start where you are and increase it on a regular basis. Don't just start. Like if you weigh, 140 pounds, don't start drinking 70 ounces right away. Just kind of work yourself up to that over several days and then stick with that. It's very healing for your body and cleansing.
All right. I want to ask a question that they were a couple of months in. Stay with the message has always been try to avoid the scale and weighing yourself, because that doesn't tell you the truth all the time. I mean, I've been feeling better. Ball practice the other day, hitting the ball a lot further than I ever have before, to be honest with you. Well, at least for the last several years, and I'm an older guy. And I think that's a lot of it because I'm doing better eating-wise, more flexible, things like that. But I necessarily haven't really lost, 15 pounds or anything like that. So, again, the message, I guess, is don't – you look at the scale how often or not at all.
Well, consistency is key, and doing the scale, I'm sure DeWitt has an answer for this too. Once a week, the exact same time of every week. Morning is always best, and that's my approach to it. How about you, DeWitt?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I would say once a week at the exact same time. But again, don't use that as the end-all be-all. Use how you feel. Use how your clothes fit, how you look in the mirror, how you feel in general, how you feel like you look and the progress you're making.
Because there's two different things. There's okay, I just want to lose weight. Then I'm just not going to eat at all. And we're not talking about that on this show. We're talking about eating healthier and getting fitter, which, again, we've talked about that muscle mass weighs more than fat, correct? So you could be getting leaner, stronger, and all that. As you say, don't look at that number. Look at the mirror.
Right, exactly. And it's not that, you know, fat is going to magically turn into muscle. So that's not what causes the scale not to change. But it's that you basically trade out that body fat for muscle mass. And in a lot of people, that's what causes the scale to stay the same and not to fluctuate. But people notice a difference in how they look or how their clothes fit because it's muscle mass instead of fat mass.
Yeah, so I put the scale away. So I know you're leading up to me, directing toward me. I had to because I wasn't doing it, you know, as a consistent thing. I would just, you know, and then I'd be like, oh, my God, it's not changing. It's not. And so there again, I just had to completely put it away altogether because I was starting to get upset. And then, you know, like you said, it doesn't magically turn, but, you know, it will at some point. But I wanted to ask you too about, for someone kind of, you know, if you're magically expecting it to, you know, get slim, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. It's like, because when you're building up muscle, I know that my daughter went through this when she first started her working out program, and it took a while for her to really see a change. She's like, I keep getting bigger before I get smaller. And so for me, I'm kind of like, okay, I just, you know, keep getting bigger instead of, because I'm used to doing it the wrong way. The you know, just don't eat for a while. And you just, and now it's like I'm trying really hard to stick with the more healthier option. And in my head, keep saying, you know, this is just the process. It's not going to be like this forever, but you have to really stick to it before it's ever going to really take effect. So I don't know.
Well, it's not an easy process by any stretch. I mean, it's definitely a difficult process. And like we talked about really from the beginning, it takes a lot of time to really get to that point where you want to be, depending on what those goals are. But when you trust in the process and you stick to it, it's just that slight edge that you have, and little by little you start seeing progress. And so it is difficult when you know, look at the scale every day and or every other day even. But you start to see that progress over time. And what I hear from a lot of clients is suddenly after several weeks or a couple months, it's like they all of a sudden start seeing, oh, this is what was happening. I was so focused on the scale, I wasn't even realizing that, you know, my clothes are fitting better, or my coworkers made a comment about how I look healthier, look like I feel better. So that's what I see most often.
And system correction takes time. So it depends on, you know, at our age, what we've done to ourselves over a period of time. I know that even at my age, it's harder for me to lose weight. Even if I needed to lose weight, it's harder for me to lose weight, and it's harder to do it the right way. So adding the exercise and, you know, subtracting some of the foods that we were used to is key. But once you're working on that, like DeWitt said, then that body system starts getting corrected. You can't notice it always because we can't see it on the inside, what's happening. We can't see, you know, what's going on in our organs and how our body is cleansing itself. And then the more that it's able to do that, the stronger it gets, and then it is able to correct the other numbers, the blood pressure, cholesterol, and weight numbers. So I usually encourage clients to give it 4 months. It takes 120 days for your body to go through a full cell reproduction. The other thing is I teach good, better, best. So my goal is to make sure that we move from bad and other choices to good, and then good to better and better to best. And there's usually things that even if I'm working with somebody 7 weeks in a row, that I can adjust certain things over those weekly meetings that we don't always have the opportunity to do here. So there's a lot of different things that maybe we could tweak, and we could say, okay, for a while, let's do it this, and let's eliminate that, and let's add this. And that might be something that we would talk about. But I hesitate doing that because I always like the full, you know, the way that you can eat the rest of your life. So I usually do my 7 weeks of clean eating and, you know, making some of the simple changes first, and then see how that goes. And then I can tweak it as we go along if we decide we need to really focus on one of the body systems more so.
You're listening to Stephanie Wonder Woman Wolf here on Live Well alongside DeWitt Thompson. DeWitt's with Healthy Life and Fitness Consultants, and Stephanie, of course, with the Whole Food Health Coach. Here we are 2 months in as we get ready to wrap up the program. Is there anything else, Stephanie, you know, 2 months into the program that you want to touch upon?
I really just want to commend you both, because I know you've added a lot of activity to your life. You've gotten outdoors. You've done some great things that energize you. Those are all great things. And the decisions you're making, your body is happy with you. So just know that regardless of what we see a lot of times with our eyes or feel that we're doing, you're doing really well. You're making some great changes. You've added some very healthy foods, and I just commend you.
And I think what's important to know is that people that go through the program, whether it's with you or somebody else, hopefully it's with you.
Yes.
But even if you just make a couple changes in your life, that's a good thing. You've
very
got us
good.
Eating better. You know, maybe we're not buying into everything just because it's difficult, and
sure.
And you got the day-to-day struggles, but just the, you know, drinking more water like we're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
Thinking before we eat something that we shouldn't be eating, thinking more, just making us pause that second,
mm-hmm.
is pretty instrumental. It's pretty large. DeWitt, 2 months in, you're about to ramp it up a little bit, so we're still kind of, you know, cussing you out a little bit under our breath. But you know, what I think is really cool is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's the app and everything, and I know I haven't been using it properly and so forth, and again, I got to get better at that. But that's something that we can continue to use forever, correct?
Sure, exactly.
So we always have these programs, and there's the videos on there that show everything that you're doing. It's all right there.
Exactly. So I'll have you guys on there, and you can go back and look at your old workouts that you've done. You can see the progress that you've made since you started, and you can utilize that for, you know, as long as you stay on the app and utilizing the website. So
great. Anything else you want to add?
No. It's just, you know, still going through changes, still, you know, and of course, unfortunately, with Halloween being tonight.
A lot of candy around right now.
I tried to hide it as best I could, but people found it. And then, of course, my resistance came down a little bit. But, you know, it's... Oh, and did you want to try it?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're extremely good.
Are you going to be giving away coaches' cookies if people come to your house tonight, trick or treat?
You can't do that anymore.
Ooh,
I guess. You know, I'd like to. I mean, if there's families that come over by my house, then yes. But otherwise, I've got these little pouches of organic pretzels. I don't want the kids to egg my house. I don't give candy, but I give the little pretzel packets.
Oh, while DeWitt and I
munch
away. Yes, very tasty.
Good.
Is this recipe online? Can people get this recipe anywhere?
It might be on my website on the recipes. I think it is, actually. I have a website that has a lot of recipes, so you can go there and find them.
Good transition.
For yes. Those
that would like to find out more about the Whole Food Health Coach. It's getting hard for me to eat without spitting it on the mic.
That's good. So you can go to www.wholefoodhealthcoach.com. There's recipes there, lots of information about my programs, the clean eating being one of them, 7 weeks, and I'd love to hear from some of your listeners.
A raisin stuck in my tooth right now.
It's actually a cranberry.
It's a cranberry. Okay. Okay. And DeWitt, can you talk? Can you give us information?
I can. Just finished chewing. That was good timing.
Yeah. For those that would like to find out more about Healthy Life and Fitness Consultants.
So my website is hlftraining.com. You can reach me by email at healthylifeconsultants@gmail.com or by phone at 770-757-2695.
Want to remind our listeners, if you've come across this show and you're listening to this show, it is show number 4. So if you haven't listened to shows number 1, 2, and 3, it's probably best that you go ahead and start with show number 1 of Live Well and just follow along. This is the 4th of, I think, 6 total shows that we'll be doing. So it's a short series, and you can listen to it all at one time or just listen at your leisure. But it's at businessradiox.com. Select the Gwinnett Studio. Select Gwinnett Business Radio and just do a search for Live Well. In fact, you can just go to businessradiox.com and type in Live Well, and the episodes should pop up. But they're also available on iTunes. You didn't know that until today, DeWitt. I said, hey, we're on iTunes.
No idea. Yeah.
And it's some pretty good numbers as far as people that have listened so far. We looked at those today. And so we appreciate everyone who's been joining us on the show. So, again, my thanks to Stephanie Wolf and DeWitt Thompson. And for Tracy, I'm Mike, and our producer, Trey. We'll see you next time right here on Live Well.